You are listening to the Zen Nova Scotia podcast with talks by Cone France. These talks are made possible in part by generous donations from our listeners. To find out how to support and take part in our community, visit zennovascotia.com.
There are a number of people here tonight who are new or relatively new. So I thought I would raise a basic question of why are we here? And I think the honest answer is we don't know. And I mean that in two senses. The first is simply that I think we probably really aren't completely sure. Individually, I could ask all of you, why do you come? And you might have a good reason. But it's probably not airtight. There's a question, probably, that accompanies this routine. And then the other way of understanding that we don't know is that that's what we do when we're here. Is we come here and we don't know. So much of this practice, as I understand it, is about maturity. We say it's about enlightenment, but that's to get you in the door. That's advertising language. It's about maturity. It's about growing up and how you move in the world when that happens. Not knowing who you are, not knowing how you got here, not knowing what's next, not knowing who other people are, all of those, as frustrating as they sound, are signs of maturity. Knowing who you are, knowing how you got here, knowing where you're going, and knowing who people are around you, that's not maturity, that's just being old. It's a contraction. And your life, generally speaking, will go in one of those two directions. You'll solidify around the things that to you feel stable now. Or those things that feel stable now will be allowed to dissolve. We come here and we sit down and we face the wall. And as we take those first few breaths, I guarantee we know who we are. We're carrying a lot. We're carrying a lot of stories. But if we sit long enough, if we sit quietly enough, if we just breathe, then over time, we start to see how those stories are not real. We start to see that it's possible, even while believing something about ourselves, to let it go for a moment, to put it to the side. We tell ourselves things about who we are, or maybe just as dangerously, we tell ourselves about who we should be. I read an article the other day by someone who was talking about shame and how as she's gotten older, she's come to see the degree to which shame permeates her life. It permeates her decision-making. It was a wonderful article, but there she made a comment at one point to the effect of I see that I have a lot of work to do around shame. And when I read it, I was struck, not just because it's the kind of thing I might say to myself about something else, but also because when I saw it on the page, my first thought was, really? Is that true? Is it possible that there can be things about you that you want to fix, and that rather than fix them, you can just let go of all the energy that goes in wanting to fix them? Right? If you struggle with shame, that may feel moment to moment as if it obstructs your life, right? But it's unlikely that it is as that it hinders you to the same degree as does the belief that it should be gone. What if in recognizing that you carry shame, you could just say, yep, that's something I do, and move on? Easier said than done, I know. I really know. But it's a question worth exploring. I have this image sometimes of, you know, imagine, this is silly, but bear with me. If you have a pair of pants that really feels like it defines you, you know, these are the pants you wear every day. They're really, it would look weird if you didn't wear these pants. They're you, right? And they fit you just right. And you wear them every day, everywhere you go. But everywhere you go, because you can't imagine being without these pants, you hold them with your hands as you walk down the street, so determined to not lose them, right? What if in a moment of distraction, what if in an exuberant moment of running down the street, I were to let go and they were to somehow disappear? Who would I be? How would I continue? And so you have this image of this incredibly awkward person, and you can use me if you want to, running down the street, holding on to his pants to make sure they don't fall off. Pants don't fall off. We just carry them with us. They very naturally affix themselves to us. But we don't have to think about them all the time. We don't have to worry about whether they're there or not there. They're just there. This can be true of any story you have. We have two natural inclinations with stories. One is to hold on to them as tightly as we can, and the other is to try to get them off of us. Which also doesn't work. But they can fade into the background. They can become something that we don't find ourselves staring at all the time. We can start to see that even if we don't know how to get rid of them, they aren't the thing holding it all together. So we come here not entirely sure what we're doing, and we throw ourselves into something. And I want to be completely honest, especially if you're here and you're new to this, because I don't want to deceive you at all. some of what I'm about to talk about can be replicated in 1,000 different ways. It doesn't have to be Zen. It could be a dance class, right? But we come here and we throw ourselves into something that is not that story. And if that's swing dancing, that's great. But for us, here, it's all the things we did tonight. It's sitting like this. In that weird place that is at once silent and a reveal of the cacophony of the mind. And we chant. And when we chant, we say things that we have no good reason to believe. We finish tonight with these vows. If you believe when you say them that you can achieve them, I say I don't believe you. But if you believe that you can't, you're done. It's the not knowing. It's saying them and leaving open the question. It's holding the question and committing yourself to it anyway. When you know who you are, there's so little that you can do. When you don't know who you are, you don't know what you can't do. And when you don't know what you can't do, that's freedom. I think sometimes, yeah, I watch movies, sappy movies sometimes, and you can see, if you want someone to fall in love with you, in a kind of bad movie sense, what you do is you look deeply into their eyes and you say, I see you. I know who you are. I see to the bottom of your soul. You're seen. I get it. Right? And people hear that and they say, oh, I'm seen. Right? That's what you say if you want to be loved. If you love someone, what you say is, every time I see you, I don't know what you're going to do next. I don't know what you're going to say next. Because all I see is possibility. There, you're saying you can be free. There, you're saying, I trust you. That's a very kind thing to say. Right? And then we bow. We throw ourselves into this action that has no context. I'm never going to tell you, even if you sit here for the next 30 years, I'm never going to tell you what you're supposed to be thinking while you do that. And I promise if you sit here for the next 30 years, it will change for you what it means to put your hands together, what it means to put your head to the ground. It's like a moving question mark. What is this? What is this? Why am I doing this? I don't have to, I think, but I feel like I have to because everyone else is doing it. But I could stop, but I'm doing it, and it seems to be okay. And sometimes you do it, and it's more than a question. Sometimes you do it and it's like a statement of something that I doubt very much you could articulate with words. all of this made possible by the simple but not so simple act of not knowing what you're doing and not knowing who you are. For me, it's really beautiful. And that's where I'll stop.
For more information about Zen, our practice, and how you can support and take part in our community, please visit zennovascotia.com.